Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Ever feel like you're staring at a problem that's just impossibly tangled, like a Rubik's Cube, but you're blindfolded?
Oh, definitely. We've all been there. Projects get stuck, things just don't move forward.
Right. And you look around and see some people who just seem to glide through that kind of complexity. It looks effortless.
Yeah. And tackling that complexity effectively, that's actually the very first thing this new workshop we've been looking at aims to help with.
A workshop from Dr. Kassar, right?
That's the one. And what's really interesting is this isn't just appearing out of nowhere. It feels like the next logical step in a long line of his work.
In systems engineering, project management, even education.
Exactly. You think about his previous innovations, things like knowledge readings, the balanced classroom.
The Evercourse model for lifelong learning.
Right. And even foundational concepts like the digital integrated environment, which, you know, we now tend to call the digital thread.
And frameworks like Hitchens, Kassar, Massey, Mabello. He's definitely got a track record of pushing how we think about these complex systems.
For sure. So this new workshop, it's a 6-part thing called A Systems Thinking Approach for Managing Complex Systems.
And it builds on that Evercourse model you mentioned with the format.
Yeah, specifically the format. Short, focused live sessions, only 75 minutes. Very interactive, based on that Evercourse idea of active learning.
Okay, so for you, our listener, our mission today is pretty clear. Let's dig into this latest offering from Dr. Kassar.
Yeah, let's pull out the key ideas, the core principles.
And figure out how this approach can help pretty much anyone. Doesn't matter if you're deep in a technical field or just, you know, dealing with a messy problem personally.
How can it help tackle complexity better? That's the goal.
Okay, let's start with the workshop format itself. You said it's innovative.
It really is. It kind of flips the usual workshop approach. You don't sit passively listening to lectures during the live time.
So what happens instead?
You get pre-recorded lectures to watch beforehand on your own time.
Ah, okay. So that frees up the live session for what?
For applying the stuff. There are hands-on exercises. You actually create PowerPoint slides based on prompts.
Right, right. I saw that. You email them to the instructor.
Exactly. And then that whole 75-minute live session is basically the instructor giving feedback, commenting directly on the work you submitted.
That sounds way more active, much more involved than just listening.
It is. Real-time feedback on your own application of the concepts.
And they're serious about the feedback, too. I noticed something about extra sessions.
Yeah, they mentioned that if they can't get through everyone's exercises in the main session, they might add extra time, like on a Thursday evening.
Wow, okay. So they really want to make sure everyone gets that input.
Seems like it. It underlines that commitment to engaging with the participants' work.
Now, the exercises themselves are technically optional, I read.
They are, but the material's pretty blunt about it. It says something like, the benefit of the learning comes from doing the exercises and the thinking involved.
So if you skip them,
you are cheating yourself. That's the quote. It's not meant to be passive. It's designed for hands-on learning.
Which makes sense. You can't just absorb systems thinking, right? You have to actually do it.
Precisely. That active part is crucial for bridging the gap between, you know, just understanding a concept and being able to actually use it.
Especially with something like managing complexity. Application is everything.
Absolutely. That's where the real learning clicks in.
Okay, so we have this active, hands-on format. Let's get into the actual content now. The core learnings. What are the big aha moments?
Well, the first one goes back to your opening point. Why do some people handle complexity so well?
Yeah, what's the secret?
The workshop suggests it's not magic. It talks about a little-known systemic and systematic approach.
Okay, meaning it's a process, something you can learn.
Exactly. It's not just innate talent. It's a structured method. That's the core idea.
Yeah.
And building on that, there's mention of a specific little-known tool. For what, exactly?
For formulating the right problem.
Ah, that old chestnut. Solving the wrong problem perfectly.
Precisely. How many projects go off the rails because of that? This tool is designed to help you avoid that specific pitfall.
Kind of like measure twice, cut once, but for complex problems.
You could say that. Getting that initial problem definition right is huge. Often that's the real bottleneck, not a lack of solutions, but a fuzzy problem statement.
Yeah, I can see that. Get the problem right, and the solution path becomes much clearer.
Or at least you know you're working on the actual issue.
Okay, next up. The difference between a system and the system of interest, or SOI. Why is that distinction important?
It sounds subtle, but it's really fundamental to this way of thinking. A system is the general idea, elements, interactions, a boundary, you know, the textbook definition.
Right.
But the system, or the SOI, is the specific thing you choose to focus on for this particular problem or analysis.
So it's about defining scope.
Exactly. Think about transportation. A system could be vehicles in general, but your SOI might be my commute to work or the city's entire public transport network.
Got it. So it frames the problem.
Perfectly put. It puts a frame around it, helps you manage the complexity by setting boundaries. What's in, what's out for this specific purpose?
Like the camera example they use. If you're taking a picture, the SOI is maybe the camera, you, the subject.
Right. But if you're worried about transporting the camera safely,
then the SOI might include the camera bag, maybe even the bumpy road you're driving on.
Exactly. Different purpose, different SOI boundary. It's subjective, based on the analyst's goal. It stops you from boiling the ocean.
Okay, that makes sense. Crucial for not getting overwhelmed.
Very much so.
Now, what about emergent behavior? The workshop mentions three types and says one can even be predicted. Tell me more about that.
Okay, so emergence is basically properties or functions that arise from how the system's parts interact. They aren't properties of the individual parts themselves.
Like light and heat from a light bulb. The wires, glass, gas, don't do that alone.
Perfect example. It comes from the whole system working together. But the key thing is emergent properties aren't always surprises or unexpected side effects.
Oh.
No, they can be known, even desired, at the design stage. The light from the bulb is an emergent property, but it's the intended one.
Ah, right. So emergence isn't just about nasty surprises.
Not at all. It can be known and desired, known and undesired, like waste heat, or truly unknown until it happens, which could be bad side effects or even happy accidents, serendipity.
And the workshop gets into predicting some of these.
It suggests that by understanding the system structure and interactions, certain types of emergent behavior can indeed be anticipated, maybe even designed for or guarded against.
Interesting. So it's about being aware of the potential outcomes, good and bad, that arise from the system's interactions.
That's a big part of systems thinking, yes, managing that emergence.
Okay, moving on. Three structures of a problem. Well, ill and wicked. Why do we need these categories?
Because the structure dictates how you can approach solving it. You need different tools for different structures.
Makes sense. So what are they?
A well-structured problem is, well, relatively clear. You know the undesirable situation you're in, and you have a decent idea of the desired future state. The FCFDS, they call it.
Feasible, conceptual, future desirable situation.
That's the one. So the what's wrong and what good looks like are pretty clear, even if the how to get there isn't obvious yet.
Okay. And ill-structured.
That's where things get fuzzy. Either the current problem isn't clear, or you don't really know what the desired outcome should be, or maybe both are murky.
And wicked problems.
Those are like ill-structured problems squared. Super complex, often lots of stakeholders with conflicting views, no clear stopping rule to know when it's solved. Think climate change or poverty.
Right. So you can't just jump in trying to solve an ill-structured or wicked problem directly.
Not effectively. The workshop stresses that a key step is often to convert them or break them down into more manageable, well-structured problems first.
That reframing seems critical.
It often is. It's about making the unmanageable manageable.
Then there are the six levels of difficulty: easy, medium, ugly, hard, unsolvable, impossible. How does that layer on?
It brings in the subjective element. What's hard for me might be medium for you, depending on experience, tools, perspective.
So it's not purely objective.
Yeah. Recognizing these levels helps set realistic goals, allocate resources properly, and match the approach to the perceived challenge. It manages expectations.
Got it. Okay, another distinction. Research problems versus intervention problems. Yeah. Why separate those?
It's about the fundamental goal. Research problems are about gaining knowledge. You start with not knowing something, and you work forward, maybe using the scientific method, to find out.
Like basic science research.
Exactly. Intervention problems are different. The goal is to change something to get from an undesirable situation to a desired one.
Like fixing that traffic congestion.
Right. And often, the process involves working backwards from the desired state to figure out the steps needed to get there, then executing forwards. Different goals, different primary methods.
Knowing which kind you're facing helps focus your effort.
Precisely.
Okay, this next one sounds really important. The three domains of a problem. What's that about?
This seems like a really core framework in the workshop. The three domains are the problem domain, the solution domain, and the implementation domain.
Okay, break those down. problem domain.
That's where you describe the current mess. What's wrong? What's the undesirable situation?
Like the traffic jams, the slow commute.
Exactly. Then the solution domain describes the desired future state. What does good look like?
Maybe a new subway system, faster travel times.
Right. And the crucial third one is the implementation domain. That's everything needed to bridge the gap between the problem and the solution.
So building the subway. The engineering, funding, construction.
All of that. The planning, the resources, the activities, the people, the processes needed to make the transition happen.
Let's try another example. Say, developing new software.
Okay. Problem domain. The user need that isn't being met currently.
Solution domain.
Mm-hmm.
The finished software application with all its features working.
Yep. And implementation domain. The whole software development, lifecycle coding, testing, deployment, user training, project management, everything to build and deliver it.
So separating these helps you think through all the pieces needed.
It provides a structure. Make sure you're considering not just what's wrong and what good looks like, but also how you're actually going to get there. Very practical.
And speaking of practical, the workshop promises over 13 tools and templates. That sounds concrete.
It does. It's not just theory. They list things like a compliance matrix.
For requirements, I assume.
Yeah. The system of interest template we talked about.
Right.
Holistic thinking perspectives, active brainstorming techniques, the principle of hierarchies.
Managing levels of detail.
Probably. Also a continuum of solutions framework, the problem formulation template.
We mentioned that one seems vital.
Definitely. The HKM2F framework, which is presumably the Hitchens-Kasser-Massey-Mabello one, ways to assess subjective and objective complexity, interface partitioning.
Managing connections between parts.
I like it. Mission and support systems architecture, the three structures of a problem framework, and approaches to iterative problem solving.
Wow, that's a lot of tools.
It is. It really emphasizes the practical toolkit aspect of the workshop, actionable methods.
And thinking about all this, the boundaries, the interactions, the flow of information to get from problem to solution, it really connects back to that idea of the digital thread you mentioned earlier, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The digital thread, that sort of modern idea of the connected digital environment for any complex project, well, it relies on understanding these very things.
Defining the system, managing interfaces, tracking the information across the whole lifecycle.
Exactly. So the principles in this workshop are super relevant to how complex projects and systems are managed today, especially with digital tools.
So summing that up, who is this really for? Who gets the most benefit?
Well, the obvious ones are people like systems engineers, project managers.
Sure.
But the material stresses, it's much broader. Organizational leaders facing strategic choices, policymakers dealing with societal issues.
Environmental folks, business analysts.
Healthcare administrators, urban planners, educators wanting to teach this thinking, researchers. The list is long.
Basically, as the material says, anyone else seeking to improve their ability to address complex problems?
Pretty much. It's aimed at the learner persona, which is potentially anyone grappling with complexity.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. Dr. Kasser's new workshop, it's a systems thinking approach, very hands-on, uses an innovative format.
Right, based on Evercourse principles.
And it gives you a pretty hefty toolkit of concepts and practical methods for managing complexity.
Yeah, a structured way to tackle those tangled problems.
And for you, the learner, listening in, hopefully this deep dive gives you a good handle on this new approach. Some aha moments, maybe some things you could use without getting totally bogged down in detail.
It's definitely a powerful methodology for the kinds of challenges many people face today.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. We've talked about a lot of tools and perspectives just now, like defining your system of interest or that problem formulation template or the three domains.
Mm-hmm.
How might picking up and applying just one of those ideas change how you approach a complex challenge you're facing right now?
Maybe take a current problem and try sketching out those three domains. Problem, solution, implementation. See what that clarifies.
Good suggestion. And of course, this deep dive is just scratching the surface.
Absolutely. If this sparked your interest, looking into the wider Evercourse model or Dr. Kasser's other work could definitely give you an even richer understanding.
Lots to think about there.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.